Revelation chapter 13. We're studying prophecy, and this is lesson number 16. And we've been kind of taking a little bit more time than I thought we would talking about the Antichrist. When you come to Revelation 13 in prophecy, that chapter introduces us to, number one, the beast out of the sea. The beast out of the sea. You'll read about the beast out of the sea in verses 1 and down through 10. And then in verse number 10, you read about, or verse 11, another beast coming up out of the earth, Revelation 13, 11. And then when you get down to verse number 14, you begin to read about the image of the beast, and then verse number 16, the mark of the beast. So those are the four subjects in this chapter, and we've already covered the first two. The beast rising out of the sea, number one. The beast rising out of the earth, number two. And I want to get to the image of the beast tonight, and then to the mark of the beast tonight. And we'll finish this subject, and we're talking about the Antichrist. Then we'll look probably next week at what's going to happen to him. The beast out of the sea in verses 1 through 10 is talking about the Antichrist, the sea representing the sea of humanity. The sea of humanity. And the Bible talks about the waters of the earth as being the peoples and the nations and the tongues of people in Revelation 17, verse 15. And so we already talked about him and how he rises up out of the people with 10 kingdoms, and which have the attributes of all the main kingdoms. There's only been four kingdoms of the earth. The leopard, representing the Grecian Macedonian Empire. The bear, representing the Medo-Persian Empire. The lion, representing the Babylonian Empire. And the fourth empire on earth was the Roman Empire, of which he is going to come out of, a revived Roman Empire. And so you see those animals and that description in verses 1 and two, he has a deadly head wound caused by a sword. We don't know what that means. It may be literal that Satan is going to actually stage what will appear as a resurrection from the dead, or it could just be metaphoric of the Roman Empire having been slain and killed and thought dead and gone forever, reviving again. We're not sure. And they worship the devil, this beast out of the sea, and people begin to worship the beast, verse number 4, it's a big no-no in the sight of God. Only God is to be worshipped. We're not supposed to worship man, nor are we supposed to worship devils, and he really, really controls the world for 3.5 years, verse 5, speaking great blasphemies against God, against everything that's holy in heaven or on earth, in verse 6. And he makes war and wears out the saints, overcomes them. And he has given power for 3.5 years in verse 7 over all the world, kindreds, tongues, and nations. And anybody who is not written in the book of life will begin to worship the beast. And those that take God's people into captivity, verse 10, and kill God's people will be taken into captivity and killed themselves. There will be a final vengeance by God, verse 10. So that was the beast out of the sea we talked last time. And the beast out of the earth in verse number 11 is speaking about the false prophet, the false prophet. And he comes up out of the earth. He has two horns like a lamb, like a lamb. He will appear like one of God's children, but it says inwardly, about him here, he'll speak as a dragon, like the devil. And we talked about how whenever the devil speaks, God says he makes a lie. He is a liar. He is a liar. And so this false prophet is going to come in like a lamb, but he's actually going to be lying as he speaks. And he's going to have amazing, amazing powers that we'll see here in just a minute. Now, this false prophet is mentioned three times. In fact, the phrase, the false prophet, is mentioned three times in Scripture. Turn to chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's the devil, and out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Some have coined this the unholy trinity. The unholy trinity. And notice what the false prophet and the devil the Antichrist do. They're possessed by devils. It says, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth and gather all of the peoples of the world together against God. And so they're miracle workers. Don't be deceived by miracle working. It's not always of God. Sometimes it's of the devil. Even the magicians back in Exodus were able to do some miracles to counter the works of Moses and Aaron. Then in chapter 19 in verse 20, we see the second mention of the false prophet. It says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. Now notice again the description. That wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Now those are our two subjects tonight, the image of the beast and the mark of the beast, and it is the false prophet who deceives the world to receive the mark and to worship the image of the beast. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with a brimstone. And the last mention is in chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was taken and then was cast rather into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So there's the three times the false prophet is mentioned. And he was the one that we were introduced to last week, going back to our text now in Revelation 13 and number 11. It says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast, that's the Antichrist, before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And so the false prophet's work on earth through the devil is to get the whole earth, those that are not saved, to worship the Antichrist. To worship the Antichrist. And he does two things. Well, of course, he doeth great wonders. Verse 13. So that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. We talked about that last time, how awesome that would be, how convincing that would be to gullible, unregenerate men. To see a man who looks like a lamb, but he's a very smooth liar, calling fire down from heaven, and he's telling people that you need to worship the beast, the Antichrist, or whatever name they come up with him, for during that time. And notice the false prophet makes those that are on the earth who are unsaved do two things, which brings us to our subject. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Notice this, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. So I think this may be more literal than metaphoric, as some have thought, and it looks like it's actually going to be an individual that's either going to feign a resurrection from the dead, and that would be like Christ, that would be like the Antichrist to do that. That would be like the devil rather to do that. He's an imposter, he's an imitator, and everything God does, he wants to do. You remember, previous to this, and we'll see this a little bit later, God had already marked his children and in their foreheads. And so the Antichrist is an imposter, and the devil, is an imposter and an imitator. And so the Antichrist is going to be his substitution for the Christ. And just like our Savior was killed and rose from the dead, It says about the Antichrist, his deadly wound was healed in verse 12. And then he had a wound by a sword and did live. And so we're not quite sure what all this means. But it says in verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." I mean, so I don't know if there's going to be an actual resurrection or a feigned resurrection, but it's going to just it's going to get the whole world's attention. Man, this guy was dead and now he's alive. And then the false prophet's going to come along and say, "Yeah, now we need to worship him. We need to worship him." And he's going to do two things. Well, of course, he's going to do his miracles. He's going to deceive everybody. But notice he gives some instructions. The false prophet now gives two instructions to them that dwell on the earth. What are they? Verse 14, we see his first instruction is this, that they are to make an image. Now notice verse 14 in the middle, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And so the false prophet tells those that dwell on the earth, you need to make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. And so mankind on earth in the future is going to make this image. It's going to be made just in the similitude of the beast, the Antichrist. It's going to look just like him. But then notice something happens in verse number 15, something amazing, and I don't have any explanation for it. It says, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast." Not the beast, but the image of the beast. "That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Now, isn't this interesting right here? Now, I'll just give you my own hypothesis on this. I don't know what it means. But I know my wife has a cousin that works in robotics over at Cornell University, is it? Alfred University, okay. And he's got a doctor's degree and everything. And I chatted with him, albeit briefly, about this one time. But I can remember a time, and what I'm going to say tonight is probably so outdated because of the advancement of technology. But I can remember being somewhere on vacation. I don't remember where it was, but there was a science movie on, or a documentary on robotics. Now, this is going back at least 4 or 5 years. I think I was out of state, and I don't know where I was, but I was watching this documentary on robotics, and there was the man who had invented this robot that was just standing there like a statue. And he had all kinds of little things stuck to him, like you'd see if they were monitoring somebody for blood pressure or whatever. And they were kind of wireless going to some kind of a machine. He was explaining all of this, and he had this robot over there, and he said, "Now I want you to watch this." And he went like this with his arm, and at the same time, the robot went like this with his arm. He went like this with his other arm, and the robot kept doing the same thing. And he lifted his leg, and the robot lifted his leg. He lifted his other leg, and the robot lifted his other leg. And then the amazing thing to me was while it was going on, I'm looking at this thing and saying, "Wow, that's fascinating." They weren't hooked up. But then he had some music come on. It was some, I don't know what it was, Swan Lake or something. You know, da 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 na 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 na. And he started spinning around like this and jumping around and all that, and the robot's doing all the things he's doing. And he's going on and on with his dance, and he's having a good time, and the robot's doing everything he's doing all the time. Now, this is 4 or 5 years ago. I'm sure that technology has been so far past and advanced since that. In fact, somebody listening to this today maybe are on the Internet sometime or 2, 3, 4 years from now might even laugh at my illustration just now because of the advancement in robotics. But he was not attached to it in any way. It was just being, from him, his movements to this machine into the robot, and the robot was dancing. And that was really the first time that I ever, you know, because I knew the scriptures. And that was just the first time when it finally dawned on me that, hey, you know, this prophecy, the what I call precursors, the advanced technology that can bring about this possibility are beginning to be invented in our day and age. And that was the first thing that came to my mind was Revelation 13 while I was watching that on the television. I said, man, that is fascinating. This word image comes from the Greek word icon, E-I-K-O-N. We have an English word icon, I-C-O-N, or effigy, or a statue. And I want you to notice here that he specifically says, and the Bible specifically says in verse 14, that the false prophet says to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image. This is going to be a man-made effigy, a man-made statue, a man-made icon of the Antichrist. It's going to look just like him. This Antichrist that has had an amazing resurrection from a sword wound, and then all of a sudden this false prophet who's been doing all these amazing miracles, verse 14, and calling down fire from heaven and deceiving the whole world, this false prophet is going to give this image that's been made by man. He had power, verse 15, to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now again, I don't know how that's going to happen. But all of a sudden, this robot, if what I'm saying is even close or in the ballpark of what might happen, this robot is going to start speaking. It's going to become lifelike. You know, we're pretty blessed to live in this day and age. Can you imagine living back in 1850? And having somebody take the Bible and some skeptic and put their finger there and saying, do you believe that? Can you explain that? What would you say back in 1850? I don't know. I'd have to say, yeah, I believe it. And they'd say, well, you're nuts. But nowadays, we see the technology beginning to be advanced towards these things, and some of you are... you're in the technology world, and I'm just a complete novice compared to some of you, but there are sciences and universities that are just given over who knows how much money to the advancement of robotics nowadays. And notice this, it's kind of like, I don't know that much about that movie Frankenstein, but they made that Frankenstein and somehow life came into it, and then all of a sudden the thing went horribly wrong. Remember that old story about Frankenstein? Well, look at this thing. They make this thing. Man makes this thing. And this false prophet somehow, verse 15, has the power to give life unto the image of the beast. And all this time, I don't know, the world to this time has only thought one thing, that only God can give life. So I don't know what this verse means. But this image starts to speak, and notice how this Frankenstein goes horribly wrong, and cause them that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And boy, is it slaughter time on earth, as you begin to read. So the false prophet is going to be a very, very powerful religious figure that gets people away from the religions of the world and gets their focus on a man, the Antichrist, and then an image, a spitting image of the Antichrist is made that starts coming to life. And then this image gives out a decree that anybody that doesn't worship the image of the beast should be killed. It reminds me a little bit of that story back in Daniel chapter 3, where Nebuchadnezzar once, in the hardened mind he had because of his own personal pride, set up an image in the plain where he was the head of the image, and he commanded everybody to worship the image, And anyone that was not, would not worship the image, would be what, cast alive into a lake of fire, or into a fiery furnace. And what was his problem? Nebuchadnezzar, was his pride. His pride. He was. And we've already seen in our studies on the Antichrist that this is going to be the most proud man that's ever walked the earth, full of pride, just like Satan. And that's when we are most, the most satanic as human beings, when we're proud. When we're proud. That's when we're the most like him. When we're proud people. And I talked earlier last year, in 07, I actually preached a message on the subject of humility and mental health, and how pride will destroy your mental health. A lot of people who have mental health issues are proud people. And Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind because of his pride. But then when he was humbled by God, what happened? His senses returned. Humility is a very powerful thing that can bring a person better mental health, better emotional health. But this man's never going to be healed. He's going to get progressively worse, like a Hitler got progressively worse. A Mussolini got progressively worse. A Pol Pot got progressively worse. These diabolic characters in human history just get progressively worse until they start slaughtering people. And this man's going to come in riding on a white horse peacefully. He's going to sign a covenant with Israel and the Arab nations and all these. Everybody's going to say, this guy is great. But then right about here, he begins to crack up. He begins to lose his mind. He begins to demand that everybody worship me. He sits in the temple in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and says, I am God. You don't worship me, you're killed. Make an image of me. Worship this image. Just like Nebuchadnezzar said, worship this image. As soon as you hear the music, drop to your knees and worship this image. If you don't, you're killed. So he begins to lose his mind. So the first thing the false prophet does is inspires everybody on earth to make this image. And personally, you know, the best explanation I can give for it is robotics. But then he does something else. Second, and we'll close with this tonight. Verse 16, and he, that is the false prophet, he, the false prophet, causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now later on there's a scripture that talks about on their foreheads. So it can be either in or on their foreheads. In chapter number 14 and verse 9, it says, if any man worship the image of his, the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. And then in chapter 20 and verse number 4, it says this, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. So it's either upon or in. And I got, again, just two opinions here tonight, if you will, in closing on what I think that might mean. And first of all, I think it might mean, if it's in the hand or in the forehead, it could be something similar to these chips that are coming out. Now, I've given you an article tonight from July of last year, so it's about 6 months old, not quite, from the Buffalo News, written by Todd Lewan, L-E-W-A-N. And the title of this article is called Implantation of Tracking Chips in People Spawns Privacy Debate. And I want to try to read this quickly and just highlight a couple points here. The article says this, CityWatcher.com, a provider of surveillance equipment, attracted little notice itself until a year ago when two of its employees had glass-encapsulated microchips with miniature antennas embedded in their forearms. The chipping of two workers with RFIDs, radio frequency identification tags, I don't know what how they get tags out of D, but as long as two grains of rice as thick as a toothpick was merely a way of restricting access to vaults that held sensitive data and images for police departments, a layer of security beyond key cards and clearance codes, and companies said. To protect high-end security data, you use more sophisticated techniques, said Sean Darks, D-A-R-K-S, chief executive of the Cincinnati-based company. He compared chip implants to retina scans or fingerprinting. There's a reader outside the door. You walk up to the reader, you put your arm under it, and it opens the door. Innocuous? Maybe. But the news that Americans had for the first time been injected with electronic identifiers to perform their jobs fired up a debate over the proliferation of ever more precise tracking technologies and their abilities to erode privacy in the digital age. To some, the microchip was a wondrous invention, a high-tech helper that would increase security at nuclear plants and military bases, help authorities identify wandering Alzheimer patients, allow consumers to buy groceries. Keep that statement in mind just for a minute. Literally, with the wave of a chipped hand. To others, the notion of tagging people was Orwellian. That's George Orwell, wrote 1984, the book. A departure from centuries of history and tradition in which people had the right to go and do as they pleased without being tracked unless they were harming someone else. Chipping, these critics said, might start with Alzheimer patients or Army Rangers, but would eventually be suggested for convicts, the parolees, then sex offenders, then illegal aliens, until one day a majority of Americans falling into one category or another would find themselves electronically tagged. 30 years ago, the first electronic tags were fixed to the ears of cattle to permit ranchers to track a herd's reproductive and eating habits. In the 1990s, millions of chips were implanted in livestock, fish, pets, even horse races. Racehorses. Microchips are now fixed to car windshields as toll-paying devices on contactless payment cards such as Chase Blink or MasterCard's PayPass. They're embedded in Michelin tires, library books, passports, and unbeknownst to many consumers on a host of individual items at Walmart and Best Buy. But CityWatcher.com employees weren't appliances or pets. They were people made scannable. It was scary that a government contractor that specialized in putting surveillance cameras on city streets, they're going up all over the place, by the way. I think they put 20 new ones up around Buffalo just this last week, was the first to incorporate this technology in the workplace. Says Liz McIntyre, co-author of, in the name of her book, is Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Governments Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID. Darks, that's Sean Darks, the CityWatchers.com executive, said his employees volunteered to be chipped. You would think that we were going around putting chips in people by force, he told a reporter, and that's not the case at all. Yet within days of the company's announcement, civil libertarians and Christian conservatives joined to exoriate the microchips implantation in people. Ultimately, says Catherine Albeck, a privacy advocate who specialized in consumer education and RFID technology, the fear is that the government or your employer might someday say, take a chip or starve. We're really on the verge of creating a surveillance society in America where every movement, every action, some would even claim our very thoughts, will be tracked, monitored, recorded, and correlated, says Barry Steinhardt, Director of Technology and Liberty Program at the American Civil Liberties Union in Washington. In design, the tag is simple. A medical-grade glass capsule holds a silicon computer chip, a copper antenna, and a capacitor that transmits data stored on the chip when prompted by an electromagnetic reader. Implantations are quick, relatively simple procedures. After a local anesthetic is administered, a large gauge needle injects the chip under the skin on the back of the arm, midway between the elbow and the shoulder. All right. So there's an article, and there's many articles, and this has become very advanced. I actually have a file in my office downstairs where I've been collecting information on these things. I just wanted to read one of them to you that was pretty late coming. But notice these things here are becoming reality in our day and age. And to me, they're very, very similar to what we're reading here in the Bible tonight in Revelation 13, verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the name or the number of his name. Now, I don't know if those are options or not. In verse 17, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and the number is 666, which is 666. So let me just say this in closing. The word mark here, the word mark comes from two Greek words. And one is charagma. I don't know how to pronounce that, charagma, which means a stamp, an imprinted mark, or a brand. The other is charax, charax, which means a palisade. A palisade. And those of you that know your fences, they call palisade fences today picket fences. If you're wondering, if you look up in an old dictionary the word palisade, you'll notice that it's a picket fence. What is a picket fence? A picket fence is a fence that has a whole bunch of pieces of wood that palisade next to each other like this. It goes all the way down. And this is very, very similar to what we would call today, marked on almost everything you buy, a UPC symbol, or a universal product code symbol, is a palisade, is a picture of a palisade. And these UPC symbols are scanned on everything you buy now. And they are what we would call in the Greek charex, or a mark. And so I am not sure in closing tonight whether or not it would be a chip embedded underneath, or as it says in two different scriptures in Revelation, in their right hand or in their foreheads, or if it would be a palisades type of a ink mark or some kind of a mark upon or on the forehead, as it says in Revelation 20 and verse number 4. It may be an option. I don't know. It may be an option that the Antichrist and the false prophet give people in that day. But my point, of course, is this, that it seems to me like technology is beginning to be in place, and this stuff is just ever increasing in its depth, and it's getting better and better and better. In fact, probably, like I said, 2, 3, 4 years from now, somebody that might listen to this on the internet or some audio recording of tonight might actually chuckle at my ignorance tonight compared to what it will be 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now. When we think about robotics and microchips and palisade marks, UPC symbols, that type of thing, people probably laugh at me trying to babble on here tonight to explain this. But these things are advancing before our eyes, and these things are setting up worldwide ability for surveillance and worldwide ability for the power to buy and sell things. And this is going to come about by not so much just the beast or the false prophet, but the image that is made that begins to give instructions to the world and says, you all take this mark or you die. You do not buy or sell without this. And you worship the beast. You worship the Antichrist or you will be killed. And so I imagine they had a hard time explaining these things 100 years ago, 150 years ago. But I think I have an easier time tonight than people did 100 or 150 years ago. And so let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, we are, it seems like we're living on the very cusp of human history. And certainly things, Lord, just by the day, it seems like today's electronics are outdated a year from now. And Lord, you are the one that said in Daniel chapter 12 that you would pour out knowledge. Knowledge would be increased in the last days. And people would run to and fro and travel in the last days. And this technology is bringing about, Lord, the ability for these prophecies to someday come to pass. And so, Lord, help us to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear, knowing that our time is running out. Help us all to be good testimonies, the way we live, how we behave at work, what we say, what we don't say, where we go, where we don't go. Help our lives to be good testimonies, and help us to say something on the behalf of Christ and preach the gospel while we can. And Lord, help us to have a stronger faith that would go beyond thinking these things are just coincidences. And Lord, we still see this through a glass darkly, but Lord, it seems to be getting brighter. Every day, Lord, help us. Lord, may we move with fear as Noah did when his day was coming. And try to reach some souls. Now bless our time of praise for thee and prayer. And Lord, even just, we just ask you, Lord, to shake us up tonight, that we would really get with it this year like never before. And trying to reach this world, for Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.